I started last week through Romans to save a family. But how many of you are here this morning have been through the Discover Who We Are class of this church? Is there quite a few of you? All right, and that's coming up again. Somebody help me. Stacy, when is that? When is it? April 11th. That's coming up again. But what I do, I set up a table, and when I prepare sermons, I want you to hear this morning. When I prepare a sermon, I look at the chairs at a table, like a kitchen table. One chair is for the sinner that's just lost and dying and going to hell. One chair is for the baby Christian, someone that maybe has even come to Christ in this congregation, been baptized in these waters, and they're just brand new and don't know a whole lot about the Word yet. And then the other chair that I look at when I preach is the mature Christian. Now, the mature Christian is a person like Dare to Share that goes out and tells other people about Christ and brings them to church and is a witness. So I try to preach to those three chairs. So let me kind of give you a statement this morning that I want to share with you as I look at my sermon here today and prepare you. So I preach for salvation, all right? I really do. I preach that someone would get saved. And I also want somebody, when I preach, to reclaim their Christianity. In other words, not that if you were ever saved, you've lost your salvation. But the old word that we used to use when I was a kid was the word backslidden. Backslidden basically meant someone that had come to Christ, but had wandered off farther away. And so I preach into an effort, if you will, to get them back into trusting Christ with their whole life. I also preach, and in effect, I'm going to change the word teach. Sometimes when you look at the chair and you look at the family and you look at the people in the church, sometimes you can't just preach, you have to teach. So today is a time of teaching. That's why we prefaced with, we're going to go into Romans, and it is, if I read it, and I'll say this again, if I read it in the Greek, you wouldn't let me read it. It's very clear what it's saying. So today I want you to take a copy of God's Word, and I pray that you have a copy of God's Word, and turn to Romans 1. And as I teach, I also pray that today you'll get a utensil or a pencil or a pen. And I also pray that you'll either take the bulletin or a notebook and take notes. See, I worry that a lot of times when we preach, we get pretty excited, but by the time we hit the back door and we hit the golden arches over at McDonald's, we've already forgot everything. And so today I want you to really take this in, and I've studied hard and prepared, and I want you to be prepared to learn today and make this effective. So bow your heads with me if you would, and let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, you know you've called me to preach, and I really do believe that, and I believe you've called me to teach your word. And there are passages, Lord, that sometimes we come to that are difficult to deal with. But to be honest with you, I believe, Lord, with all my heart, that the text that is in front of us today is to be preached, because it's part of the whole counsel of the Word of God. Father, I have prepared as you do know, and now help me with what I say and what not to say. And I pray that you would be honored and glorified, and I pray that your people would be taught and that their lives would be drawn closer to you, Father. I pray that you would equip us to live by the Christian life and to live even a little better this week. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I showed you last week in Romans 1 that there's a descendant. It's a descending spirit that God's teaching us. It goes down and down. And if I had a set of stairs, Nick, I'm going to borrow your step. You know, sometimes we're up here, we're close to God, but when I taught last week, we suppress the truth. We don't believe God's Word. It's a step down. And I believe theologically in Romans chapter 1, and I could be debated by a scholar and probably come up with more or less, but I believe in four steps down in Romans chapter 1. And so last week I taught you about the suppression of truth. We continue to suppress the truth and we're down farther. And then hopefully you took notes. My wife got a little mad at me when we left. She said, Billy, you know, I didn't get all the notes. And she really keeps me honest on these notes. And so I want to make sure you got them. The suppression of truth, and look in your notes, leads to the rejection of God as God. We hit that last week as well. We suppress the truth so much that then we reject God as God. And then that leads to the rebellion of man. The rebellion of man. How did we get here today? Step by step, very subtly, to the rebellion of man. But today I want to even get down to another step that we're going to hit in just a minute, the fourth step. But to conclude last week and to move on this week, I want to show you Romans 1, and read with me 18. I'm just going to read down through about 28. It says in Romans 1, 18, for the wrath of God is revealed. We talked about that in depth last week. You can go online and get that sermon if you would like. And I hope that you do and that you would take notes and look at it. But it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And we broke those words down. But now skip down with me to verse 21. 21 says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Someone underlined that. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The word there for animals is quadrupeds, in case you want to know. Verse 24, therefore God gave them up. Some of your translations will say God gave them over into the lust of their hearts and impurity, into the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And they worshipped, and I want you to underline that word worship. They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God again gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion one for another. Men committing shameless acts, underline that, with men and receiving in themselves due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up. I want you to listen to this phrase this morning. And what I want to kind of conclude that with this statement. Men, it says, men and women have exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man. I want to say that again because I want you to hear this morning. They, the Bible says, men and women, have exchanged the glory of our God, the weight of our God, of the incorruptible God. God is not corrupt at all. They have exchanged the weight of the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Down and down and down this progression goes as we read Romans 1. And remember, I said last week, man is going to worship something. Remember that? Even the atheist worships something, and that something could be himself, maybe money, maybe material, anything at all apart from God. But we will worship something. I also wrote last week and told you that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11, I hope you remember that, that God has placed eternity in all of our hearts. Listen to this statement. Man has a natural desire to worship God. Man has a natural desire to worship God. So what do some do when we go down and down and down? We exchange the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man. So as we look at this, the degradation, the down, I want you to look in your Bible one more time to verse 23. We exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, then birds, then animals, then creeping things. I want you to notice that word creeping things. If you look that up, it's the word cobra. And that means that we, on our digression away from God, God says that man, as he suppresses the truth, let me give them to you in order, as man suppresses the truth, as man rejects God, as man rebels against God, man will get to the point where he worships the serpent, which is a sign of Satan. Satan tells us, and throughout the Bible, God tells us that Satan is a serpent. So man, with our depression and our digression and our down, 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 we get to the point where we actually worship the symbol of Satan, Satan himself. So what we have here is this. Listen to this, please. Man's futile mind, man's darkened heart, man's professing to be sophisticated, so clever, that he begins to worship the devil himself. Now, I want you to think about our country, our nation, our families that we're around every day in our lives. And think about these statements as I talk about them. Have you, anybody here, been to Sedona lately? Have you ever been to Sedona? Thought about this as I prepared for this sermon. See, in Sedona, you focus on crystals, you meditate. Lately, we've heard in the news, you sweat. Remember the people that died because they were sweating? See, that's sophisticated and very intelligent, right? Very clever. I don't think so. You go do that and you let me know what it does for you. It won't do anything for you. But our culture has become so sophisticated and clever that we think we can worship God in all these other ways. That's how ridiculous, hear these words, that's how ridiculous man has come to. That's why we're so ridiculous when we suppress the truth and reject God and come into a rebellion with God. I will worship something. So for you that like Sedona, I made up a song for you. And I'm preparing to sing it right now. Oh, my. Man, I'll tell you what. Can you believe that? They did, didn't they? Well, I'm going to sing it anyway. And I'm being funny here because you guys are way too serious this morning. But this is going to be a tough subject. But here's the song that I wrote for you people in Sedona. I have a crystal I love to wear since I have been redeemed. Isn't that ridiculous? Not just the music part of it, but the words. We don't have crystals that redeem us. We have Jesus Christ. But our world has become so clever and sophisticated that we believe junk like that. It's the foolishness of man that has come to suppress the truth of God's Word, hear me, and rejected God, and now rebels before God. And our families are a reflection of that today. We will worship anything but you, we tell God. Remember my statement last week? God is dead. We'll worship bulls and cows and stones or a person. But there's a fourth step down that I want to get to today. And that is what we're going to look at today. And that's what I want to call God's reprobation. There's actually a doctrine of reprobation when you become a scholar. You figure that out in Romans. Or anybody can figure it out. But this reprobation that God has leads to a man's perversion. Hear these hard words that I'm going to say today. God's reprobation will lead to man's perversion. And I want you to see this. But before I do, I want you to grab your Bibles in your hand and hold it. Because I think this is a very sensitive subject, so I need to make sure that we all understand each other, okay? See, is it not very, very simple to point out other people's sins, isn't it? So I want to walk you through three quick scriptures to prepare us as we talk about this fourth step down, this very sensitive subject. But in Romans 3, chapter 10, it says what? As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. That's for me, and that's for you. The next one I want you to look at is 3:12, just down the page. All have sinned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. That's another word for me, correct? And then we all know Romans 3:23, and it says, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Another word for me and for you. So before we get into Romans 1:24, we need to realize that we are all sinners headed, and we were all sinners headed to a devil's hell until Jesus, by His grace, saved us. Amen? Amen. So let's remember that. Are we in agreement on that? Everybody say okay? Amen. All right, let's go then. Verse 24, Romans 1. Turn there. Get ready. Let's go. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. I want to share this with you. God gave them over. What that means, and Lisa, tune me out for a second so you don't fall asleep, but that means parodidomai. God gave them up. Parodidomai. Paro means to come alongside or over or against, and didomai means to hand. So it means to hand over. To hand over. God abandons them. God says, I will hand you over to what you lust. God says, you've come to a place of suppression of the truth, a place where there's a rejection of me, says God. You've come to a place where there is rebellion in your heart to even worship everything but God. So I'm going to, God says, go to a place where I just abandon you and hand you over and give you up. God will come to a place where He will say, my hands are off, I'm off. My hands are off, I'm done, that's it, I am finished. Have you ever said that to your teenagers? Maybe your spouse? But see, God means it. When I say it to my kids or my wife, I don't really mean it. And I hope they don't mean it when they say it to me. But God means it. He says it three times. Look at 24, 26, and 28 of Romans 1. God gave them up. Parodidomai. God gave them up. Parodidomai. God gave them up. Parodidomai. Why? Because they had exchanged the truth. Listen to this. Of God for a lie. They had exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Look what God is saying here. Let's break this down in a hermeneutical fashion. God is saying this, you would not worship me, and then you went beyond that, you took a step down, and in your rebellion you exchanged the glory of God in order to worship an animal, a beast. And he said, you have dishonored me, says God, by not giving me the glory. So God says, I'm going to dishonor you, but here's what he says, and give you over, parodidomai, so that you will do what the beast you worship, hear this, will not do. I will give you over to the beast that you worship to do what it will not do. We're going to get there in a minute. Right now you're going, what's he talking about? I don't worship a beast. What's he talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. Well, hang with me. You've got to see that the suppression of the truth has caused man to do what the beast will not do. And that's what turns me to this sign. It's a signal sign, I'm going to call it. There's a signal sign throughout the whole Scripture. Hold your Bible up. There's a signal sign throughout these Scriptures, and I want to show it to you today. You wonder why all these earthquakes are happening around the world? Well, people, get ready, because it's going to come to us. I don't want to get real prophetic today, and I don't want to get real eschatological today, but I want you people to realize what's coming to us today. When you leave here today, I want you to go, the pastor didn't make me feel good, but he taught me something. Right? He taught me something. He prepared me for what's coming because he proved it in the Word of God. There's a signal sign throughout Scripture, and that signal sin is sent to a culture every time in Scripture, a culture every time in Scripture, a nation every time in Scripture, and that sin says this, and that sign, signal sign says this, God has his hands off of you now. There's a signal sin, and it says that God has his hands off of you now. And that signal that God says, I no longer will be involved with you. Listen, this is a hand that God has on us and has taken off. But listen to me. This is hard for me to preach, but you'll see it throughout the Word of God. Even my wife said, Billy, this is tough stuff. And I said, I know, but it's throughout the Word of God. That signal sin is homosexuality. I want to show you in the Bible. And I want to give you a context of why we need to preach this. When you see homosexuality, listen to this word, embraced. Everybody write down the word or underline the word. Everybody needs to say this word. Embraced in the culture, it is the signal sign that God has said, I, parodidomai, give you up. I love people. I love homosexual people if they come to me. Don't. I'm not an old Southern Baptist preacher that says, if you're homosexual, you're going to hell, get away from me. No, come to me and let me show you the truth. Let me be with you and help you through this. See, God has said when we embrace that, he gives us up. And let's look at America today. Let's look at our families today. I'm told that only 7% of the families in the church of America actually pray together today. God says, you won't honor me. You dishonored me by not worshiping me. So I will dishonor you and let your passions drive you to do what the animals of the field will not do. And that's homosexuality. See, in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah comes to mind, right? But I also want you to write down Judges chapters 18 through 20. I'm going to give you, this is going to go fast, so stay with me. We're almost done. Stay with me. In Judges 18 through 20, the Benjamites was a tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of all the Benjamites, the men became homosexuals. And so the 11 tribes gathered. I'm giving you a quick overbrief of three chapters. And they said, we got to kill them guys because God's gonna destroy us. Because they knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew. And so the other 11 tribes came together and in one day killed 25,000 men, homosexuals. And only left 600 Benjamites alive. And then later on, as you read, they felt greatly distressed that they had wiped so many men out, but they felt that they had to. See, you've heard that homosexuality is not the sign of Sodom and... Let me ask this. Have you heard that homosexuality is really not the thing about Sodom and Gomorrah? Haven't you heard that lately? Well, I've heard that too, but that's wrong. It is. We've tried to suppress the truth on that. I've heard that, but it's not right. I want to show you in Jude 7. I want to show you on the screen a couple verses that I want you to know about. Jude 7, there's only one chapter. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah, it's up there for you, and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example, underline that word, an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. That word there, example, means for generations and generations and generations forever. It's set up for an example for us to see that God will judge. If you don't understand that, Jude was a half-brother of Jesus when he wrote this. And so now also look at 2 Peter. I want to show you it again just to show you that it's consistent in the Word of God. 2 Peter 2:6. It's also on the screen for you. I'm going to turn my page. It says, "And if he condemned the cities, that is God, of Sodom and Gomorrah, to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them," there's that same word, "example to those who would live ungodly thereafter, forever and ever and ever." 48 times in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned in Scripture, and 48 times in Scriptures, it's mentioned as an example of God's judgment because of the sin of homosexuality. Here's an example, it says, for all the world to see, for all generations to see, what God does when a culture gives way to this kind of lifestyle. But Pastor Billy, we're still not with you, because, see, homosexuality is in every culture, every nation. And so is murder and adultery and thieves and theftness. Every culture. But what the Scripture is saying, that when the culture and the nation hear this word, embrace homosexuality. Hello, California. Hello, Massachusetts. Hello, armed forces. Hello, American Idol. Ouch. Me and the wife almost got divorced the other day. Cocked in the house, she's watching American Idol. What are you watching that for? I want to see who's going to win. There's a homosexual that's a judge, and we need to love her, but don't honor that. I had to go to the other room. Just kept watching it. I'm going to preach on submission next week. Hear me, people. When the culture embraces it, get ready, accepts it as normal, God will give them up. Listen, we are not getting there. We are there, America. God says, "You have dishonored me. You turned and you would not worship me. So here's some animals to worship." He says, "I will dishonor you and I will take my hands off of that nation." And listen, when God takes the restraints off man, hear this, man will spiral down and down into filthiness and into perversion. He will get nasty. Somebody look up Luke 15, the prodigal son. Now go back to verse 26 and 27 for me. "For this reason, Paradidomai, God gave them up to dishonorable passions." You see it? "For their women exchanged natural relations for those of contrary nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with the women, were consumed with passion for one another." Men committing, I want you to underline this word in your Bible, shameless. In some of your translations, it's going to say indecent. That word is askemosuna. Everybody say it. Askemosuna. One more time, I love it. Askemosuna. That means schemo, which we get our word schematic. Anybody bought something lately that has like this schematic of how to put it together? This part goes here, this part goes here. And when you get done, you got 10 left over, you got to call somebody for help, right? I am not a schematic guy. I'm a guy that says directions. That's for starting fires. I'm going to do it. And then it never works. And then we have to sell it to a garage sale for a dollar. Some of you get it. God has given us a schematic of marriage. And God has given us a schematic of family. Listen, God has built us to have sexual relations according to His schematic. That should have been an amen. Thank you. That is a good thing. And yes, the church needs to teach this truth, because everybody else out there is teaching it wrong. Let the church finally do something to teach their children what the schematic is, the design for human sexuality, and it's called inside marriage, heterosexual, one man, one woman, for life. That's God's design schematic. Askemosuna. Here in the Greek, we have an alpha primitive. In other words, It says that what man is doing is what God designed man not to do. It's not according to God's scheme. That's exactly what this means in Romans chapter 1. But hear me, I'm almost done. The most troubling part of Romans 1 for me, is verse 26. Because it says this, "For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women," underline that, "exchange natural relations for those that are not, that are contrary to nature." It says that women traded what was right for what was unnatural. Women did this. Now listen to me, I'm not picking on women. I'm actually lifting them up because I've studied women in culture, and it says that in any culture, the woman is the one who is reserved. The woman is the one who upholds morals in the family today. The woman is the one who does not rush into sexual relationships. It is not natural, hear me, for the body, and especially for women, to be uncovered. That's why after 24 years of marriage, and even in your own house, if someone walks in, a family member walks in on you and you're uncovered, you immediately turn. You turn. It's not natural to be uncovered. And a person has to be taught, listen to me, to take their clothes off in front of other people. It's got to be taught. Modesty is built into our conscience. I had to rush a man yesterday into the hospital. He got hurt, and I was just there. And they said, "Dude, take him to the hospital." I'm like, "All right." And they don't know who they're talking to. Because when I see blood, I faint. So I'm going 90 going, "I could faint." Looking over at him, blood everywhere. His nose was off, and his chin was tore up. Shoulder was out like that, and his knee was out like that. Driving down the road. We get into the hospital, and they said, "What do you know about this guy?" "Nothing. I mean, really. I knew his name. They told me his name." They start taking his clothes off and they're saying, "Where are you hurt?" And he was telling them, and all of a sudden they start pulling his bridges off. I'm like, "I'm out of here. That's not right. I felt sorry for him and everybody else. It's just not right when we take our clothes off." He turned out to be okay. Praise the Lord. It's just not what we're taught. It's not natural for people to have relations with the same sex either. Hear me? It's just not right. It's not natural. Why? Because a man... Why do women do this? Listen. That's why your kids aren't in here. Listen, men. Because a man will pressure a woman to do what she is uninhibited to do, of doing. A man will pressure a woman to do things she doesn't want to do. And that's what happens when a man suppresses the truth and rebels against God and does not believe the truth. He becomes filthy and perverted, following his baseless, hear me, desires. That's a tough word, I know. Mom, dad, kids, listen to me. Have you ever heard of Katy Perry? Have you? Most adults haven't. I didn't. My kids did. Actually, Shay didn't. Trey, have you ever heard of Katy Perry? Most of the kids know who she is. All right. Number one pop song in America that's ever been listened to. Number one song ever listened to in America, Katy Perry wrote. Her parents are pastors. She grew up singing gospel songs. But the number one song in America since 2008, the most listened to song, is "I Kissed a Girl" by Katy Perry. It's a girl singing, "I Kissed a Girl." I won't sing it for you. Actually, I've never heard it. But folks, that's where we are. And how did we get there? One step at a time. The whole issue of homosexuality comes through the woman. I should say when the whole issue of homosexuality comes through the woman, it breaks down all the barriers for man. I'm told that on this campus even, there's a lot of homosexuality going on. In verse 28, I want you to look at that. I'm almost done. I want you to look at one word. Verse 28 says this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge." Everybody see that word acknowledge? That is the word ed doki motson. It sounds Chinese to me, but it's Greek. It's ed doce, ed doke. I'm going to try to say it right. Ed doke motson. And what that means is that something, and let me just give you what it means in translation. It means to test something to see what the results are and whether or not you will want it based on the results of the test. So when the guy comes to your house and knocks on your door and tries to sell you soap and he's shining your shoes and taking the grease off the concrete, you're seeing the results if you want to buy that or not, right? Well, that's what this word is, ed doki motson. But that's America. That's what God has shown me. That's America. See, we've tested God and said, God, we don't want you. God, we don't want to pray anymore to you. God, we don't want you in our schools and our education anymore. God, we've tested you. God, we don't want you in our public. We don't want your word. We don't want you anywhere around us anymore. God, we don't want to pray. We don't want any Ten Commandments, no nativity scenes. God, we don't want you in public. We don't want you in our government. We don't want you in our military. God, we've tested you and we decided we don't want you anymore. That's where America is today, people. Watch the play here. Watch this. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. 28, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what they ought not be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious. They are gossips. Gossiping right in the middle of all this hard stuff. You gossiping? Slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. That word there for that word, deprived mind, is dokimazo. Dokimazo. And we wonder why these who are halfway around the world with this little stuff that's black called oil hate us so much. And they fly airplanes into buildings and do whatever they can do to get us because they know that we have said we have tested God and decided that we don't want God. But the other side of that coin is God doesn't want us either. That's what dokimazo means. California Supreme Court, we've embraced homosexuality. Massachusetts State Legislature, we've embraced homosexuality. Don't ask, don't tell, and just write it down that your pastor told you that will pass very soon. Don't ask, don't tell, because we've embraced it, and American Idol has embraced it. I'm not just picking on American Idol. You guys can relate to that. Go ahead and watch it. Let's see what happens to you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm telling you. We've embraced it. It's just normal to be homosexual. Scary people. Listen to me. They will give a hearty approval. That is the government. The military. Congress. The president. We will give a hearty approval of it. But let me give you a word today. It doesn't matter to me, but I want you to hear this. It doesn't matter to me who gives a hearty approval to sin. It could be the president, the Congress, the House of Reps, the Senate. It could be every human being on this planet Earth could say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and embrace sin and say it's all right. But let me give you a scripture. Let God be true and every man a liar. People, we're in trouble. I want you to close your Bibles now and just look up here as I close. Because I don't mean this is a hard one for me. I was actually told this week, Pastor, we would come to your church, but you just don't make me feel good, so we're going somewhere else. I lost some tears over that, people. I don't want to be a hard pastor. I want to be a truthful pastor. And I am hurt over that maybe someone doesn't come to Christ because they think I'm hard. I'm not hard. I just happen to speak the truth, people. Hear me today. In a congregation this size, this is real serious. There are people who struggle with this very thing we've talked about today. But also in this congregation today, I know there's people struggling with alcohol, gambling, pornography, adultery, lying, anything you can imagine. Let me tell you, it's happening in this church and around us. Listen to me. You don't get to choose. Everybody look right here. This is huge. This got me. This got me on my knees all week. You don't get to choose what tempts you. You don't get to. God didn't bring you up and say, all right, here's all the sins. Which one you want? Which one you want to fight? You don't get to choose. I didn't. And I ain't going to tell you what mine is. I thought somebody would snicker. You don't get a vote on what tempts you. There is no sin, hear me, in being tempted. Homosexuality may just be the sin that you struggle with. Or it may be alcohol. Or it may be whatever. But listen to me, you don't get to choose. But brothers and sisters, listen to me today. Struggle with it. Struggle with it. Fight it. Don't leave the church and abandon the Word of God and say, I hate that preacher. Fight your sin. Keep fighting. Struggle with it. Keep under the Word and get on your knees in the Holy Word. And struggle with it today. Fight it. Anybody here struggling with sin? If you didn't say yes, you're lying. That's what the Bible says. So my proclamation to you today is you fight it. You struggle with it. And Jesus will deliver you, it says in the Word of God, from that sin. Does Jesus say, I will help you and deliver you from the sin that so easily ensnares you? Do you believe it? I do. Stand and be the woman and man, or the man and woman that God has called you to be. Stand and be the teenager or the high schooler that God has called you to be. Stand and be the young person or the older person, wherever in the middle that you need to be. Because Jesus says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can't do it, but God who loves you can. If you didn't hear anything else. You can't do it, but the God that loves you can. And He says, I love this. Listen to this. Jesus says this. I don't care what kind of a sinner you are, what kind of a sinner there is, even the worst kind of sinner that there is. Jesus says, here I am. I love you and I will deliver you. God loves you. And with God, you can overcome sin. Are you ready as Michelle comes and plays? Are you ready to overcome your sin? Are you ready to fight it and overcome it, whatever it may be? Will you not today choose victory, victory, victory over what ensnares you? Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for this today, this word, this hard word, Lord, that gets us back into shape. This word, Lord, that lets us know that America is under judgment and we will be judged for embracing this sin that you've pointed out so clearly today in the Scriptures. But Father, I pray that right now today, there'll be somebody here today that says, you know, I just don't know God. I don't have that relationship with Him. God's not helping me overcome. Maybe you need to meet God with a pure relationship with God and receive Him and surrender your life to Him. And I know that there's people in here today that need to do that. Surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Father, I know that there's people here today that are struggling with sins. And I know that there's people here today, Father, that are seeking you and are fighting and struggling. And I pray for them, Lord, extra power today. Pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out and touch them and help them. Father, I also know that men and women alike struggle in so many ways. And Father, I pray that if men are here today and need to pray, that they'll come pray. Maybe even whole families. And Father, also women. And not really even with homosexuality, but just women that are just battered or women that are just need to pray. And so, Father, I just thank you that you would give us that courage to come and pray. Father, we love you. And I pray that you would move amongst us today. And I pray that nobody would be shy, but they would fight and struggle today and come down and pray. And live in victory. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Will you stand with me? Lisa, I'm going to ask you to stand up here. If you're a woman is afraid to pray with me or Stacy, my wife will be here today to pray. And there's other women. We have women's ministries. They'll pray with you. But sometimes a woman just needs to pray with a woman. And I pray that you're not afraid today to come and pray. We won't tarry long, so will you come? Come now as we sing. Come. Will you come?
in the ocean.
Is there others? Will you come? Don't be afraid. Will you come? Is there others? We won't carry much longer. Is there others? God speaking to you right now?
Who shall I fear? Who shall I fear?
Just bow your heads where you are and just pray for those around you. And ask God to move in their lives and in your life today. If the ushers would come forward, I'm going to pray while she plays the music. We're going to prepare now to give back to God a portion of what He's given to us. And as we prepare to do that, I'll pray that you'll be in prayer about that. Seek God for what He would have you give. Ushers, if you'll come forward. Father, we come to You today and we thank You for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for your truth and your word. And Father, now we thank you for your provision and your protection and your power into our life. And Father, as obedient children and fully devoted believers that want to honor you, Lord, and not honor something else, that want to give you the glory, Father, we give back to you now and we show you that we do honor you. Father, I pray that all of us in here would not have idols, but would have only God. And as we give to you, Lord, you'll bless that and increase that and multiply that so we can reach and teach men and women, boys and girls, for Christ. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen. All right, amen. I want to introduce those who have made a decision today. Hope you're glad and excited you're here today, but I'm also glad that these people came and joined to be a part of us and see what this is all about up here, being fully devoted believers. Marcy, if you'll come up. I know you've been here for quite a while, but you were just a little nervous to come up here by yourself, and I'm scared to death up here too. I know it's scary, but we're glad that you've come.
Thank you.
And I know you have, how many kids do you have?
Six.
I knew it was getting that many, so six. And this is who?
Kaylani,
and she's only a few weeks old,
6 weeks.
6 weeks old, so praise the Lord for her. If you're glad like I am of her decision to come be a part of our church and help partner to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ, give me a great big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Holly, if you'll come up. Holly is the mama of the two little girls that got baptized this morning by Mark, her daddy, which is the deacon of the church. That's awesome. I got all that said, and I didn't even stutter. That was good. Praise the Lord. But Holly comes. And she actually wants to join our church as well and rededicate her life for Christ. And if you're glad like me of her decision to come partner with us, give me a great big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's right. Thank you for that. You can be seated again too. I also want to share, Michelle, I want you to come down here and stand by me. Michelle has served with us and now she's actually going to be still serving with us. But next week we have a gentleman named Scott Ballantyne coming from Florida to be our music, part-time music guy. And so Michelle will still be up there hopefully playing piano with him and singing, but she has done us a great service and I just wanted to have her come up and stand here and I want everybody to give her a great big, what can we do? Hallelujah, I guess. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, let's all stand and we thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we love Michelle around here and her and Jeff are still doing the gathering with us, and they're still a part of this, but I want you to be ready for Scott when he comes on board next week. And Scott is a powerful leader, great experience. It's just going to be fun. With you guys working together, I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
Michelle already wrote me and said, I love this guy, and it's awesome. We're excited, and so I hope you are. And I pray that you'll be in prayer for Scott. He's actually on the road. I don't think he's here. He must be on the road. He left Florida this week to get here. Great family, great guy. Golden Gate, MDiv, so I kind of like him, being a Golden Gate guy myself. Praise the Lord for you today. Thank you for being here. We love you at this church. It is a place where you belong. And I want to tell you this. We'll see you when we see you. How's that? All right.